Hey, Sharnold?
Yeah, Zach.
I have a question. Since it's December and it's almost at the end of the year, I can only assume, possibly, that we have like a whole roundup recap comics thing going on. Like, we're going to look at all the comics we talked about in the year and how they progressed over the year and like what things have happened since then and like what things are might be happening in the new year, and that it might be two parts because it's going to be a lot of things. Is that a fair assessment? Hey, everybody, welcome to the Doombots podcast. We're the Doombots. I'm Zach.
And I'm Sharnold.
And today we're going to be looking at the year in review and seeing what has happened throughout the year, catching up on the things that have happened.
Pretty much specifically in Marvel Comics, not just like all of the things.
Yeah. But if you want to know what we're going to be talking about, go back to that question that I asked Sharnold, mm-hmm. and then just apply that to this section right here, because that's all the things. Right?
Yeah. So did a lot happen in Marvel Comics in 2022? Yes, it did. So where should we start? That's the question.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Any individual place. Okay. Because I not only do I not know what happened this year in comics, mm-hmm. but I also, if I did learn about it, probably forgot. And also, a lot of the things we've talked about haven't necessarily been, like, current things.
No, we haven't done a lot of current stuff. Certainly in the past handful of months.
Yeah, we've been analyzing characters people might not be as familiar with. We've been tap dancing.
We did a DBZ episode.
An Omega Mart episode that has nothing to do with comics. We've been sort of tap dancing as fast as we can to keep the podcast alive in the wake of being just very busy and my family being part of a plague house. my kids and myself have been very sick repeatedly over the course of several months because children, young children in schools are just walking fucking germ warfare factories. Listen, we're getting off the point. The point is comics.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about them.
Okay. So, my thought as to how we're going to do this, there's a big event called Axe Judgment Day. And so we'll start with that, and then probably...
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Avengers, yeah. X-Men, Eternals.
That's correct. There's no way that was a guess.
No, it was!
Really?
Yeah! Because whenever there's anything like that, if there's an X in it, it's...
That's fair.
...related to X-Men.
That's fair, yeah.
And so if X-Men are in it, I had to think about what the other things would be.
What the A and E would be.
And you're saying it's a big crossover event, so I figured Avengers, X-Men, Eternals.
That's exactly what it is.
And I figured Eternals because they're trying to bring them to be a real thing again.
Right.
Because of the movie.
Right.
Yes.
They're working on it.
So I got it right.
You did.
So, Axe Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, if they can shoehorn in an X pun acronym somewhere that either means an X or a 10, they're going to do it.
Yes.
And this sometimes was back and forth in the same circumstances.
This was actually 10 Avengers versus the Eternals. No X-Men involved.
A-10-E. Judgment Day. Fucking comics.
Okay. So, where to even begin with the giant sprawling crossover?
I feel that this might be the majority of the beginning of this podcast, like the whole part of this podcast. Okay, so let's examine. So this, how long has this been going on for, this big crossover event?
It started sometime in the summer, and the last issue, like the Omega recap final issue, just came out.
Oh, okay.
So a few months.
This crossover event has concluded.
It has, yes. Okay,
and... everyone's dead, and there are major ramifications that will play out throughout the rest of the comics.
That's correct.
And it was absolutely worth happening.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, there's yes.
It didn't immediately reset to the status quo.
No. And that's a lie?
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is.
And let me tell you how I knew that was going to happen. Well,
Because
that's what they do.
What it always happens?
So there are two changes that came out of it.
Okay.
But, let's go big premise, like pitch you the premise so that you have any idea what the fuck is going on. And then we can get into like the details of what
okay. happened. Okay. I think I know. Okay. No, let me rephrase that. I am sure I do not know.
Okay.
But I think I have an idea.
Okay.
Based on A, the teasy thing you said in the last episode.
Oh, that's right. I did. Yeah.
And what I know about the Eternals.
Okay.
So can I try to pitch a general little concept idea of what it might be?
Yeah.
Okay. If I remember correctly, the Eternals are immortal.
That's true.
Does that play into this?
It does.
They are immortal because of the mechanisms of the Earth.
Uh-huh.
And in some capacity, I remember that someone tried to make it so the Earth couldn't revive them.
Mm-hmm.
And that they had broken that mechanism of revival.
Mm-hmm.
And does that play into this Judgment Day thing
at
all?
It does, yeah.
Does the X-Men, the five who are the six, play into this whole thing at all as a main component?
It does, yeah.
Was this about trying to eliminate the immortality aspects of characters?
It was,
okay. Yeah. I don't say this often, but I have aroused myself at how good at guessing I am in this case. I guess I do say that pretty often, just not on the podcast.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So why do we even need to talk about it if you've already predicted the whole thing?
I don't know any of the details though. I know here's another reason I thought that this might be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Immortality as a conceit is an untenable way to exist because it eliminates a lot of stakes, which I've complained about. Maybe since I first found out about the five who are the six.
Which was our third episode. So I've hated it since.
Let me rephrase that. I haven't hated it. I just think it feels like something I came up with and that almost wrote them into a corner a little bit.
See, I just like it so much because they're going to be immortal anyways. So rather than having to tiptoe around all of the random resurrections, you just make it canon and move on with your lives.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Okay, so I everybody gets the concept, immortality.
Right.
Let's get into Axe Judgment Day.
So the big overarching premise is that the Eternals, one of their, I guess, primary directives as beings on this planet is to, quote, correct excess deviation.
Okay.
And that's why they murder the deviants.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided, or rather, Druig decided. In the movies, Druig wasn't an evil, maniacal asshole. He is in the comics. Druig is a huge asshole. He always has been. He's basically evil, and he...
I thought he was a deviant. I think I'm getting the names of my people mixed
up. He's an Eternal.
He's
Icarus's cousin. So Druig is a big, dumb shithead, and he became the Prime Eternal, which is the leader of the Eternals, and he noticed that the X-Men were immortal, and he's like, that counts as excess deviation, right? Yeah, let's go kill them all.
But what? Why?
Because he can?
No.
Like, legitimately, why?
Are the X-Men deviants?
That is debated.
Okay. Or do they just mean any deviation from normal human genome?
Well, it was implied in one issue of Eternals that sort of set up the prequel to the crossover that the X gene is deviant-based. Because long, long ago in our primordial ancestry, a deviant had sex with a human and was like, have some X genes. But that wasn't like, it wasn't like explicit, like this is canon. It was like an implied thing that Druig was like totally latched onto and was like, okay, cool. Let's kill all the X-Men.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there a benefit to him for killing all the X-Men?
Yes. So everyone knows that he's an evil megalomaniacal jackass.
Mm-hmm.
He sort of tricked his way into becoming the Prime Eternal. And so Druig was like, in order to unite the people, we must have a common enemy. So we shall go to war against the X-Men.
Against the people who have routinely saved the Earth time and time again. While the Eternals have done nothing.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So then the other big revelation that is going to be important is everything. All of the
Okay, good. Good. Glad to hear it. Shouldn't make for a long podcast.
So, it turns out that the Earth is alive.
Okay.
And is also a machine. And so, like...
Like sentient alive?
Yeah.
Like Krakoa sentient?
Yes. Oh, my God. It's weird that you bring that up.
Well, I mean, it's not that weird. Specifically,
well, it kind of is, and it will be.
Oh, I mean, it doesn't feel weird because Krakoa is the only other sentient landmass I can think of.
Right. And so, at the end of the crossover, like, the very last thing that's going to happen is that Phastos is going to come to Krakoa with a message from the Earth, and it turns out that when the Celestials came to Earth a million years ago to set up a machine to turn it into a system. Basically, the Earth is a machine that exists in order to keep the Eternals alive, right? Yes. But it has gained sentience and whatnot.
Sure.
And when the Celestials did that, they modeled it after Krakoa. So Krakoa was already around and alive over a million years ago when the Celestials landed.
Okay, hold on.
which is a big revelation that they haven't done anything with. That's just like the last little drop at the end of the crossover.
I paused. So Earth existed.
Right.
As a big ball of rock and lava and stone and water.
Right.
The way it normally did.
The way that we think of it. Yes. Yeah.
Then the Celestials came
and
turned it into a sentient machine.
Right.
Modeled after the extant sentient island that existed on the non-sentient Earth.
Correct.
Okay. I'm not saying that as a joke. I genuinely
trying to understand a series of events. Yeah.
I thought that they had made Earth. But that was like a million years ago. That doesn't make sense.
No. No. So they never made... They don't make planets. They go to planets that already exist.
Right. I mean, they probably could make a planet.
They probably could. I mean, they're gods. Yeah. So, but that's not their MO.
But they don't. It's not in the handbook.
Right.
The celestial to-do list. Okay, so... Okay. Also, on a side note, feels like, with your god powers, it'd be easier to just, from scratch, make a sentient planet then take a non-sentient entity and make it a sentient computer. Feels like that would be harder and is a million times crazier.
So rather than build sentient planets from scratch, they
turn Earth sentient.
Right.
And a machine.
Right.
Is it aware of itself?
Yes.
Can it control itself?
To an extent.
Okay.
Yeah, and it gets
so are all natural disasters intentional attacks on humanity?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, just wondering.
Most of what it can and cannot control involves the Eternals.
Very limited, but all
right. And the Eternals comic that Karen Gillan is currently writing, the 12 issues of which were published before, or maybe about 12 issues of which were published before the crossover, was narrated by Earth.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And so, is there any explanation as to Krakoa's origins?
No.
Okay.
Only this new mystery, right? Like
sure.
So, as a mutant island, we knew that it has been around for at least 5,000 years because it existed back when Apocalypse was around.
Okay. Quick alternate question.
Yeah.
What kind of genome does an island have?
It's a damn good question.
How does an island have a gene?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it does.
Sure.
Its previous origin used to be that it got nuked a lot during World War II tests, and that the radiation mutated it into a sentient man island.
That's just as bad. I'm not going to give any credit. Like, no... okay. It's all terrible.
But now we know that it's been around for at least a million years. So, the other thing that is important...
Wait, we didn't get to the first thing that's important yet.
The first things that it's important is that Druig
wants to like, destroy
all the X-Men. Because okay. That counts as Excess Deviation.
Got it.
Then the second thing that's important is that whenever an Eternal... So Eternals aren't immortal.
Right.
They can die. But then the Earth just makes a new one.
Which and is the same with X-Men.
It is the same. Yeah. Yes. But the way that the Earth makes a new one is that it kills a random human and uses that life energy in order to resurrect an Eternal.
Well, that's very different.
and so the whole first part of the Eternals new comic was about them discovering this and being like, ah, fuck.
The Eternals didn't know that.
Correct.
Interesting.
Except for Cersei, and that will also be relevant later.
Okay.
And so like the main Eternals, like the 12 Eternals from the movie that we think of as like the primary cast of Eternals, were like, let's try to figure out how to be different and better. Or
let's just not die.
I mean, that could work too. But them like leaving to go on a quest to like try to change is how Druig was able to usurp control and become the Prime Eternal.
I was wondering how someone who's clearly evil.
Yeah, he also used Thanos. Let's not get into that.
Okay. Thanos is an Eternal.
Technically, yes.
Okay.
He is a Uranian Eternal.
Thanos mm-hmm. also has a brother, I believe. No, uncle who's more evil than him.
Yeah.
I just saw a TikTok. Oh, is he relevant to this? He's
one of the main characters.
Oh, okay. I just saw a TikTok about it. That's most of my comic news that doesn't come from you. It comes from random, contextless things on TikTok.
I love that.
Yes. It's the utter lack of context, because sometimes I'll learn about it and it'll be like somebody posting the newest thing that's happening.
Yeah.
And sometimes you won't even know that because you haven't gotten to it.
Yeah.
And then other times it'll be posted like it's something really cool and it happened 15 years ago. And because there's no context, I don't know what I'm learning, but I always love it.
So, they're called the heretical. Yeah. I always want to add, because heretic.
That's the same. It's the same root word.
Right. But if you're going to be heretical.
A hairy tickle is a completely different thing. A hairy tickle is something you. they charge for a hairy tickle. Although, usually they are quite heretical.
So, the heretical Eternals are, like, the main ones. Like
that is also different than an Eternal Harry Tickle, which is just that's a Harry Tickle lasts for a very long time. Sorry, yes, the heretical Eternals.
So, they went off to try to change.
And those, so, based on context of that word, those are Eternals who are going against some sort of directive?
Right, so Eternals are kind of also machines because they have, when the Celestials made them, they gave them some commands that they physically cannot control their bodies under those commands. And so one of them is protect the machine.
Which is the Earth.
One of them is correct excess deviation, which is deviance.
Yes.
And then one of them is you can't hurt Celestials.
So it's very much a RoboCop system of governance, of internal governance.
Yes. Okay. And so one of the problems that they introduce is sort of different interpretations of these laws.
Now, when you say that one of the laws is kill excess deviation or whatever.
Right.
Does that mean like correct excess deviation?
Right.
Does that mean if they see someone who is can a deviant look like a person?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. They just have to immediately go into a blind rage and murder them?
So not all deviants. Because some deviants, they're just like, hello, deviant, you and I are enemies. But if the deviant mutates too much, then yes, they go into a blind rage and murder it uncontrollably.
Okay. Are there any deviants who aren't evil?
Define evil.
Are there any deviants who are not malicious?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
that's kind of part of this whole thing. So that's one of the things that the heretical Eternals do is they go to the deviants and are because the deviants are the changing people.
Yes.
And the Eternals are the unchanging people.
Yes.
Right. And so now that the Eternals want to try to do something different because they figured out they were accidentally changing. They go to the deviants and they're like, maybe you can help us.
Interesting.
And so a lot of the deviants are like, those guys murder us, so they shouldn't be here. But some of the deviants are like, but they're trying to change.
It does feel like very much a colonial, like indigenous peoples versus colonial whites situation.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they are seen as, like, the savage other by the erudite and intellectual civilized world.
Right.
When in reality, they're just trying to live and keep getting murdered.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all there.
If you examine every comic, is every good guy really the bad guy? Is that just...
Not Superman and not Captain America, but pretty much everybody else.
Yeah, you say that, except for the time that Captain America was Hitler.
Well, yeah, except
and for that I'm sure time. That Superman has been also mega Hitler.
In a couple different iterations. Shit. Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry. Anyway, let's keep going.
So the Eternals are trying to change.
Okay.
You know how the Avengers live inside the dead body of a Celestial?
I do. I do. That's now.
One of the things that you know.
I do know that.
I mean, that was like the first thing that happened in Jason Aaron's Avengers run, which
by the way, is
wrapping up. And
oh, really?
So it'll probably still be a few more months before it has finished and we can do an episode about it. But yeah, he's finally bringing all of the pieces together after 6 years, I want to say.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. So. Not that he can't do it, but just whenever you have to bring a bunch of pieces together, a lot of times the ball gets dropped somewhere along the way.
Sure.
But I will say that them living inside the body of a giant Celestial is rad as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I've come to appreciate writers who do weird shit and embrace the weirdness.
Uh-huh.
Some embrace it too wholeheartedly to the degree where it no longer makes any sense. But like the Avengers living in the body of a giant Celestial is just rad. Like it's just awesome. And it's just the right level of weird. It's not trying to just be a boring ass story about them living in a tower. It's great. And I'm fully on board with it.
Okay. So how do you feel about this next development? In order to reprogram the Eternals, primarily Ajax, but also Makari. Yeah, it's Ajax and Makari. Makari is the fast one.
Mercury.
Yeah. They decide that they're going to make a new Celestial who can then, like, give them new, like, update their programming, so to speak. They want to make a new god.
And they're... Part of their programming they want to update is they want to update the kill the deviant gene, or they want to update
Update correct excess deviation. They also kind of want to update
protect the machine
because
they want to change.
They don't know what that means, right?
Interesting. Okay.
Like so Thanos's uncle, who we'll get to in a while, whose name is Uranus, his idea of how to do that was just to murder all the humans. Which, you know, there's a point to be made.
I guess.
And like he wanted to do this hundreds of thousands of years ago when they started like developing sentience. He was like, this isn't going to end well for the Earth. Let's just kill them. And any deviation is excess deviation, right?
I mean, if protect the machine is your prime directive, killing all the humans probably is the best way to do that, to his credit.
Yeah.
We are the primary threat to the Earth.
So anyways,
and what was the third one? What was the third directive?
Don't kill any Celestials. Don't harm any Celestials.
Don't harm any Celestials. Yeah. But it does not say don't make a new Celestial.
It does not, no. Okay. And so Ajax and Makari kidnap Mr. Sinister, the mutant geneticist Mr. Sinister, because he knows how to do shit, and they go to Tony Stark because he also knows how to do shit, and he lives inside the Celestial, and they're like, make it go turn our god back on, and that's what they do.
They activate the dead Celestial.
Yes,
it was dead because of some sort of beetle infestation, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like celestial plague beetles.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I just remember that vaguely from our episode. You guys can go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
It happened some time ago.
4 billion years.
I meant our podcast episode. Oh. It does feel like 4 billion years ago.
It was episode 8, if I recall correctly.
Okay.
Okay. So they turn the progenitor back on, and they're like, "You're a new celestial. Tell us better, cool things." And he sits for a minute, and he's like, "You all suck. I'm gonna kill you all."
Whoa.
And
what did they think was gonna happen?
That he was gonna be like, "Hi everybody, I'm your happy celestial friend. Let's have fun together."
Did they have any reason to think that he wouldn't just want to kill them all?
I mean, that judging things is what the celestials do, right? Like, we haven't talked about this a lot, but like, that's what they're mostly known for.
I know,
is going to planets and either giving a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And yeah.
But that was the whole, I mean, that was what the premise of all of the Eternals stories was.
Yeah.
So why would they think that this is a good idea?
I don't know. Because they were going to do it better this time. Maybe it was going to have, they thought because they were making him new,
he would be friendly. Couldn't one celestial just kill the entire planet?
Yes. And so here's how I knew that the whole crossover wasn't going to matter, is because it's narrated by the progenitor, is what they call him, because that was his name, and he's not the same as he was, but it's his same. Like, it's not the 4 billion year old progenitor who's been around this whole time, but they used his body to make a new celestial, so he's still called the progenitor.
But it's a different celestial consciousness?
Yeah.
What celestial consciousness is it?
It's new. It's partially based on Tony, and it's partially based on Mr. Sinister, and it's partially based on Ajax, and that's some of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, the whole event is narrated by the progenitor, and it starts with, "I don't exist yet, but I am still talking to you. That's how powerful I am." And that's like the opening line. And I'm like, oh, okay. So time travel magic.
Okay. Was...
And then later they try to attack it and he kills every hero. And then the next episode, it was like, nope, that was just an illusion to prove to you that you shouldn't attack me. And I was like, oh, okay, so everything that we're ever going to see is just going to be an illusion that you made up? Like their clues that this isn't really happening and doesn't really matter were not subtle, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with a cosmic entity force. That is fucking with us, right? And so basically, I mean, we could go into the nitty-gritty of all the shit that happens, and there's a lot of it, but basically he's going to judge all of the individuals and he's going to judge us as a whole, and there's a lot of judgments, right? Like, a lot of the individual issue crossovers are about him judging a character and how they stand up to that. And the best, in my opinion, is Dr. Doom's.
So he is in this.
He's got a page.
Sure.
But the Celestial comes to judge him, and Doom says, "I don't accept your judgment. I don't care what you say." And the Celestial thinks about that and gives him the thumbs up.
Shardled, this is what I'm fucking talking about. Doom is in this thing for a fraction of the time, and he's got the coolest fucking scene. Like, when we no joke, when we started this podcast and we were gonna be the Doom bots, I knew nothing about Dr. Doom. So as this podcast progresses, literally everything I learn about Doom makes me realize, like, oh, we named this podcast right. He is the best character.
Yeah,
it's just amazing how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
I love his character so
he's
much.
He's great. Yeah.
I don't accept your judgment. That's so fucking awesome. It's exactly the same as when Mephisto is giving him his whole thing and Doom just sucker punches him right in the mouth. And you're like, you just punched the devil. He's like, well, I don't have time to talk to the devil. I have to get back. It's fucking rad, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so they've teamed up, brought a Celestial back to life.
Right.
Now, does Druig thus far have anything to do with this?
No. So that's happening on one side. And on the other side, there's this big-ass war between the X-Men and the other Eternals, right? And the coolest part are these kaiju-sized Eternals called the Hex.
Ooh.
That we have never met before.
What do they look like?
No.
No, okay.
As in, the word like implies similarity, and okay. they do not look like anything.
So, but so they're not human.
Not human. Okay. I wouldn't say they're humanoid. They're giant shapes.
Okay.
With some other shapes. Like one of them has a kind of triangle-y head. So the Hex are these weird fucking kaiju monster,
yeah.
powerful Eternals, and they come and they attack Krakoa, and there's some really cool battle scenes, and both sides keep dying and resurrecting.
Are the Hex controlled by Druig?
Basically,
or influenced by Druig?
Yeah.
So they're like his apocalypse soldiers, sort of.
Yeah, so now that he has been voted as Prime Eternal, pretty much any Eternal will do what he says.
Except for the heretical
Heretics. Yeah.
Okay.
And so then the other thing that he does, the Eternal Society is fucking weird and complicated, man.
I know, we've talked about it before. But
and we could easily do, like, so we did two issues. We did two episodes just on the Eternals, right?
Yeah.
We could easily do a third episode just on,
like, their culture?
Kieran Gillen's new interpretation of the Eternals and everything that he changed and updated in the modern version.
Got it.
But basically, when an Eternal, quote, dies, that means that the machine has excluded it from the resurrection protocols. And so the machine doesn't bring it back to life anymore, and it now exists in this weird pocket dimension jail place.
So the consciousness still exists?
Yes.
Okay.
And so Uranos, who is Thanos' uncle, who was the first heretical Eternal.
Okay.
Like, canonically, the Eternals went to war, and he was banished to Uranos, and that's why it's called Uranos, is because of Uranos. But anyway, and so Druig goes to him and says, I'm going to let you go, and you're going to go and you're going to attack Mars, which is where all the Arako mutants live.
Oh, yeah, that's right. From X of Swords.
Right. We don't need to explain that.
No, it's way too complicated.
There's a shit ton of mutants from a different dimension, basically, that live on Mars now.
Yes.
And
is Storm still the queen of Mars?
Storm is still the queen of Mars.
Okay.
And Magneto is their winter leader or something like that.
Okay.
They've got a council, and basically Storm, Magneto, and Nightcrawler joined that council to try to, like, be part of uniting the Iraqi mutants and the human mutants.
Yes.
And so Uranos goes and he single-handedly destroys a million of the most powerful mutants in the world,
of
all time. Right. So, like, he is this godly powerful, unfathomably strong.
How does he do that?
With 1 hour.
He kills a million mutants in an hour?
Yeah, the machine lets him out for 1 hour.
Okay. Okay, I don't mean, like,
he's,
like, how does he do that physically?
He's got what's it called? He's got an arsenal. So he's got an arsenal of magic weapons that he has created that are hidden in subspace.
No, I get that. But I mean, from a numbers standpoint,
Space lasers. Big space lasers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then that's not even him, really.
Yeah, it's his arsenal. But,
like, anybody could have an arsenal of space lasers. I bet Tony Stark, with the right writer, could kill a million people with an arsenal of space lasers.
Yeah, probably.
I thought he literally went and killed a million people with his bare hands.
And part of it is, and so, like, he goes toe-to-toe with Magneto, and he rips Magneto's heart out. He also goes toe-to-toe with Legion, who is a god, okay?
Yeah, Legion's like the Omega-ist of Omega mutants, right?
And so they compete in every way, in every time, in every iteration, in the blink of an eye. Which is that there's like a whole issue that is them fighting. But like, like they tap dance and they write music and they fight physically.
Okay.
And they play chess and they shoot lasers at each other, and they travel through time.
The best at all of that?
As good as Legion. They fight to a standstill in every possible type of thing.
Has this character existed before this crossover?
Not really. Only in like mention. Passing
reference?
Right.
Okay. I don't like that. It narratively, whenever they do that, whenever they like create a new big bad who's the biggest and the baddest of all time ever, it always feels so unearned.
Yeah.
Like, and they do it all the time.
I also felt that it was very unnecessary. Like I didn't feel like him going and slaughtering Mars added to the Eternals versus X-Men thing, right? Because the battle against the Hex and Krakoa was cool.
Yeah. Right?
And the fact that they both kept dying and were trying to resurrect themselves faster than the other one could resurrect themselves. Like, there were some really cool battles going on there.
I like the idea of Uranus and Legion.
And that was also cool because of the way that it was different.
Yeah.
And weird and interesting and unique.
But just him, slaughtering just feels
just like what? Why? Like, feels, there's no point
in this. But Legion is... It's like when they introduce a new character and then that character like beats the shit out of Wolverine.
Right, or Doctor Doom.
Or Doctor Doom. And you're just like, well, okay. But so what?
Yeah. And fundamentally, the only repercussion is that Magneto is dead.
But again...
Well, okay, so part of the Arako culture is that they don't believe in resurrection because that, I don't know, it weakens the meaning of death. Or whatever.
Sure.
Also, they're all immortal. Like, they don't die from old age. So...
Right.
But they are... They did grow up in a death dimension. And right. So their whole culture is fight. Which is another reason why it super doesn't make sense for Uranus to have just gone and slaughtered them. Because these are, like, military-based mutants. But... Point being,
but also,
Magneto excluded himself from the resurrection protocols in order to be accepted as one of the leaders of Arako. So now that he is dead, he is actually dead.
Except for the fact that he existed for a long time before he went to go with Arako. So I'm sure there is a backup of him somewhere.
Right, but he asked not to be backed up.
They're going to. They're going to.
Yeah, I mean, my guess of what's going to happen is that Xavier will bring him back to life against his wishes because Xavier will miss his friend and be like, let's just erase the part of his mind that remembers that he didn't want to be brought back to life.
Yeah.
Because that's the sort of thing Xavier would do.
Okay, anyway, it does add stakes to, like, the rest of the Arako mutants, though. Although it also deals with having too many mutants.
It does, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to keep track of narratively speaking, which might be why they had that happen. Okay, so he eventually is bested by Legion?
Well, eventually his hour runs out.
Why only an hour?
I don't know. Because if they just let him run amok, he would destroy everything. He was the one who was like,
kill all the humans.
Right, kill all the humans, because that's what it takes to protect Earth and to correct excess
deviation. But then why did... So Earth is the one who let him out of the prison?
Right.
Why did Earth have any problem with what was happening on Mars?
I don't know. Because Druig told him to. I think the Prime Eternal gets to tell the machine what to do.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. I didn't... Like, that part of it was not my favorite part of it. And the other thing is that the machine, Earth... is so powerful that it can contain and recontain Uranus, who went toe-to-toe with the god Legion, right? So Earth, the machine, must be pretty fucking powerful. But in order to revive an Eternal, it has to take the life force from a human?
Yeah. I don't know. Look.
Yeah, I think I don't know is the end of that discussion. I don't know.
Are we close to the end of this crossover situation now?
We can be.
No, I mean, I don't want to, like, skip ahead. I just didn't know. Because it feels like a lot has happened.
It depends on how much you want to summarize.
Well,
so basically now, once the new Celestial shows up and starts judging everybody, the Eternals and the X-Men team up and are like, oh, we're going to have to stop this. And lots of attempts are made to stop the Progenitor from destroying the world. They're all failures. Lots of people die. The big thing that happens is that the X-Men use their resurrection protocols to revive Captain America.
Who isn't a mutant.
Who is not a mutant. But they're like, Captain America is what we need right now in order to inspire the world to stand together and be better so that we succeed at judgment.
And this is the first time they've used this to to resurrect someone who isn't a mutant, I'm assuming?
Right.
Okay. That feels like a big deal.
It is. And then all of the humans were like, but you said resurrection only works on mutants. And they were like, that is what we said.
Just lie. Just say he's a mutant.
And the progenitor continues to judge people, and it activates Earth's fail-safes, which make the Earth, it's like the Earth's self-destruct, but the Earth being sentient is like resisting against it, but it can only resist for so long. And like I teased last time, the way that they stop it is Fastos resets it. But this also deletes all of Earth's memories as well. And like Fastos is friends with the Earth. And so he's like sad that he had to reset the Earth to prevent it from exploding.
Okay.
We could go into individual judgments, but let's not, because that would take all day to be like, this person was judged and that person was judged. And
are there any good ones specifically?
I really like that specifically against Jean, the progenitor was like, remember when you were Phoenix and you destroyed that whole planet? because that's like it, meta-wise, that is something that gets talked about a lot.
Yeah.
And was one of the huge retcon that was not Jean, but was actually Phoenix pretending to be Jean, is because the editor-in-chief was like, we can't have had the real Jean have destroyed a whole planet. Right. And so the progenitor still putting that on her is like, there's a lot of meta reference stuff there, you know.
Did he judge like Spider-Man and stuff?
Yeah, Spider-Man's fine.
Of course.
Gwen Stacy came back and was like watching him.
Okay.
And then when he was judged well, he brought Gwen Stacy back to life for realsies. Was like, this is your reward. And then he was like, JK, just for 10 seconds.
What the fuck?
Like, I was really excited for Gwen, like, for real Gwen to come back. I think that would have been great. Also, because interdimensional Gwen as Ghost Spider is a character now.
Yeah.
And it would be really cool for her to meet 616 Gwen. Like, I think bringing Gwen back right now and using a magic space god to do it, it would be great. But that isn't what they did.
Editorially, it might be confusing.
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was just really disappointed.
Okay.
Eventually, Ajax is like, I challenge you to judge yourself.
Do you think the microphone's picked up my eye roll? I don't know.
We've talked about this before. They're calibrated very sensitively. Yeah.
That's the sound of my eyes rolling back in my head.
And the progenitor was like, oh, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing, do I? And that was one of the things. So, like, even after half of everyone had been killed, Iron Man was still pressing on. And they were like, how do you maintain hope? And he's like, he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, if he'd wanted to kill us all, we'd all be dead. Like, what's he doing with this judgy stuff? I don't know. Something's wrong here. Let's keep going. Because he passed, and he didn't think that he should, because he's pretty self-loathing. Anyway, yeah, that's basically what happened, is the progenitor was like, oh, you're right. I don't really know what I'm doing. I just kind of came into existence and started doing shit that felt right. But
I'm like a baby who gets to choose to lose or dies.
Right. And I there's no reason for that. Okay, fine. I'll go back in time and undo all the shit that I did.
What?
So it's not that it didn't happen. He just unkilled all the people.
That's the same thing.
No, because everyone still remembers what happened.
Okay.
And so Fastos still had to reset Earth.
How many humans, regular humans, died?
Millions.
And they were all brought back.
Yeah.
But they all know this happened.
Right.
Living in this universe is a fucking nightmare. It's a fucking nightmare, Sharnold.
Yeah, but they all came back. And then Cersei, in an attempt to show that they could change, like, they were trying to show the progenitor, like, even though we've been evil, we've got the ability to change. She revealed to the humans that whenever an Eternal dies, one of the humans is killed to resurrect them. And so that knowledge is out there now. It is known that the mutants can resurrect people because of Captain America, and so they've started what's called the Phoenix Foundation, and basically Jean is going to pick some underprivileged sick kids and bring them back to life from time to time. And Phastos had to reset Earth, and so he's sad about that, and Earth doesn't have any of its memories.
Oh, he's sad about that.
And that's where the message that we talked about, like, as he was resetting Earth, its final words were like it was a goodbye mother, father, progenitor that Phastos came and gave to Krakoa. And so that, like, mystery is there, but we'll never know because Earth doesn't have any of its memories left, so there's no way to unravel that.
Boy.
So again, like, two consequences, right? The people know that the mutants can resurrect whoever they want, and the people know that whenever an Eternal dies, a human is killed to resurrect them. And that's really the only consequences.
And Magneto's dead.
And Magneto is dead, and a bunch of nameless Iraqi mutants are dead as well. And as part of the peace treaty to say that we're sorry, at some point in time, Arako gets to unleash Uranus for an hour on one of their enemies. So I'm sure...
That feels like a bad idea.
Probably. I'm sure it'll come up at some point in the future.
That's not how... Okay.
And there's a third thing, I guess, that is kind of a big deal that I didn't think about, but actually is probably the most important thing.
Oh, okay.
Most
important thing.
The most important thing, yeah. But least important to me, so I didn't think about
so
it.
So fuck it.
Yeah. Ajax is a celestial now. So when the celestial, when Ajax challenged the celestial to judge itself, and he was like, oh yeah, I do kind of suck, okay, I'll set all this shit back, he used the last of its energy to give its god power to Ajax. It's like, you'd probably be a better god than I would, you've been around for a while. So Ajax is a celestial now.
Jesus Christ.
And...
Wait, does she just look like Ajax still, or does she become like a giant Aztec celestial?
Kind of in between.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's a little extra big and a little extra glowy, but mostly still the same.
A little extra glowy.
Yeah. Well, because gods glow. That's a well-known fact about gods. Oh,
that's a good point.
And so now she is trying to figure out what to do, I guess. So, like, she's coming up with her own principles, right? Mm-hmm. And one of them is you have 24 hours to justify yourself.
Which is what this other celestial said, right?
Right. But in her canon or law or god proclamations,
right,
it's just like, remember that everything you do matters and that you might die at any point in time, and so be good about the things that you do
every day.
Which I guess is a good moral.
Yeah. But does it have the same mandatory obligation that the other principles did? Like, do you have to literally justify yourself every 24 hours?
It's unclear.
Oh, okay. It feels like that would be a bit much. It feels like you don't really get, like, a day to just, like, Netflix and chill.
Yeah. Oh, and so as part of that, fucking Zuris. Zuris is the guy that has been Prime Eternal this whole time. And he went back to being Prime Eternal at the end of all this, and the heretical Eternals are like Ajax Eternals now, like
celestial Eternals.
The regular Eternals are still following Zuris, who's normally the Prime Eternal who got ousted by Druig, but is now back to being the Prime Eternal.
Mm-hmm.
But the heretical Eternals are following Ajax. And so their new status quo is that they are wandering the streets of the world using their powers to help people. As so, like, you see Icarus change a stranded couple's tire.
Oh, that might be too street level. That might be too specific.
You see Sprite giving some money to a homeless guy.
No, see, that's... Okay, there's a middle ground. There's a middle ground that needs to be found here. Like, that's too in the weeds for an Eternal. What happened to Druig?
Oh, he's trapped with Uranus and
in the
exclusion the soul zone.
Jail.
Yeah, and Uranus is just forever torturing him.
Oh, okay. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I can't remember. We have so many ideas for this podcast, and we read so much. I can't remember if we actually did an episode on it.
Uh-huh.
Did we ever do a BPRD episode?
No.
We didn't.
You've talked about doing it, but we haven't done it.
We've never actually done it. Okay.
Yeah.
That is what happens in the BPRD timeline.
Oh.
Like, these cosmic entities unleash on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and the planet reacts the way you would think, which is just, like, madness.
Yeah.
Just utter madness and hopelessness. And it doesn't get solved in the end. Like, 3 billion people die or something, like,
uh-huh.
and then hell just takes over Earth. Like, it's crazy. And at a certain point, you're like, what are we even fighting for? Everyone's dead.
Yeah,
like, the world is dead. And, like, it's crazy because there are very real consequences. And that's kind of what is boring about crossovers now. And kind of what
the lack of consequences.
Well, not just the lack of consequences, but it's the same as the thing that makes the Marvel or superhero movies boring,
mm-hmm.
which is just a big thing destroys the city.
Uh-huh.
But, like, if you think about it, like, how many world-ending apocalypses has the United States been through in Marvel Comics? I'm serious. Like, the Null, right?
Many.
Like,
yeah.
Like, many. Like one like, person in New York will have experienced 10 apocalypses.
Easily, yeah.
Right. So, like, at a certain point, it doesn't make sense the world exists.
Right.
Even yeah. if they stop the apocalypse, the thing happened.
Right.
So it doesn't, like, it's a nonsense world. Now, oh, meta, here's the thing. Uh-huh. There is one mutant who is casting some sort of power.
Spell.
Or a vague, like, okay with this spell, an acquiescence uh-huh. spell. So that everyone continues living life as if they would, not knowing they're being obligated to by some sort of force field generated by one mutant who no one knows about.
Uh-huh.
Somebody kills that mutant. The world has this wave of realization of the futility of their existence, and they go crazy.
I love that.
That would be... Oh, TM! TM again! More TMs. All the TMs.
Yeah.
Hire us! Wow, that was a lot. So
let's not do a segment today.
No. In fact, well, we also didn't talk about anything else that happened this year.
Well, I figured we were going to do a two-parter.
I think
you implied that in your question. And
that's true.
And that was also part of my plan, is that yeah. if we can get through all of Axe in one episode, we can do everything else in another episode.
So let's do everything else in our next episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to come back with the second part of this
mm-hmm.
Year in review,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to talk about all of the other comics. And that'll come out on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
So we can end the year on a real review.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have any questions that you want us to address in that, you can email us at doombotspod@gmail.com. You can hit us up on social media, Twitter, Instagram, @doombotspod. Doombotspod.com is the website. And, you know, shoot us your questions and your thoughts and all that good stuff. And yeah. then we'll be back with the rest of our year of 2022 in review.
And remember, you have 24 hours to justify yourselves. Dun 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 dun. That's the music that you could hear in the comic. It was like one of those like card
like those greeting cards that open up. But then after like reading the comic 75, like and somehow it's creepier.
Yeah.
Are we recording?
It's going.
Okay, so let's give it a couple of seconds of silence for editing purposes, and then. Nope, that's not silence. That's you breathing directly into the mic.